Excuse me. So, we've been doing a series, or just started a series, Tom started it last week, on Unity, and I'm just going to follow on that today. And Jack, if you're listening to the download, we've been singing all morning about the Father's love, and so we just send his love to you this morning, and our love as well. And so, I'm going to be looking at a word today that we might think is about moral conduct or character, but I want to talk about, in regards to unity, the word integrity. And sometimes we think integrity is about morality or morals or our character and what we do and no one's looking, so to speak. And but I want to look at that word integrity in regard to us as a tribe, as we've been talking about, us as community, us as the body of Christ, us as a whole instead of just individuals having integrity. I can't see a thing. Can't see your faces, which might be a good thing. Sorry. And I don't, you know, because what I want to do this morning is encourage every one of us. You know, God's told me off many times in my life and you know, once or twice wiped the floor with me, to be honest with you. And I've loved it. I've always loved it. I've always come out better. I've always felt loved when he's chastised me, as he does with sons and daughters. And it's not nice at the time, it says in Hebrews, is it? But that shows that he loves us, you know, and I've always felt his encouragement, even when he's chastised me. But this morning, so he's always encouraging, even if the circumstances are grey or dark black or dark royal blue. And this morning, God wants to tell each one of us how important we are. Now, that sounds a little bit flowery, doesn't it? And a bit maybe lovey-dovey or trite to some of us. But, you know, we all have, and I keep saying this, and I'm sorry to repeat myself in some senses, we all have an absolute vital role to this body.
That's right. Yeah.
We are all important.
Yeah.
Not impotent. Important. We are all, each one of us, have the same standing of importance and being vital to the work that God is doing in this place. And I really feel God wants to hammer that home to each one of us. You know, some, I feel good today, but I need this today, and I'll certainly need it tomorrow, to know how important and how vital I am to the very purposes of God. The very kingdom of God. The very King of Kings. Like we've said, we're chosen not to feel good or get goosebumps all of the time, although they're nice. But God's got a plan and a purpose and wants us as individuals to be whole and have integrity.
Amen.
And I don't want this to be a back-slapping exercise today at all. I want it to be an encouragement and an exhortation. I'm not saying any of this because I like you. And I'm not saying any of this because I want to be liked by you either. Although those two things are true. I'm saying it because I genuinely, in my heart, with the light I have today, believe it.
Amen.
At least if I'm wrong, I'm authentic. At least if I'm wrong, I'm sincere. And I want to point the finger of God in your face and tell you on his behalf in a prophetic sense, thus says the Lord, you from Australia, you going to Australia and everyone else are vitally
Amen.
Important
Amen.
To the purposes
right.
of God.
Praise God, yeah.
Now that might, you know, when Jesus said, when they came for Jesus in the garden and he said, are you Jesus? And he said, I am.
Yeah.
You know, in one of the Gospels, they all fell over. You know, you are important and vital to the purposes and the plans of God. Is that heavy stuff? Is that, there's a weight of glory to that, isn't
yeah.
there?
Amen.
And, you know, the gospel is not a Sunday day trip into morality. I don't like talking about morality in regard to the gospel because morality is a construct of man. That went down well. You know, in the 1950s, there were certain things that were both illegal and immoral. In the 2016s, they're not illegal anymore. In fact, they're quite normal. in regard to the world standards. But Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things together will be given you besides." Integrity as a community, seeking the same thing, but slightly different, at different angles. Lauren Marsh looks at Jesus this way. Jimmy Brown looks at him this way. I want her to fulfill her purpose and call, because when she lives that and shares that, I get more of him. It's just a different angle. So we all got an angle that we're looking at Jesus that's absolutely vital and relevant. And I'm jealous for you to see him fully, deeper, going more today, because I know it'll do me good. I'm not saying this because I like you. I'm saying it because I'm quite, in a godly sense, very selfish. Because, you know, we are impacted and affected by each other. Did I say affected or infected then? We are impacted, infected, and affected by each other and each other's journey. Now, this is not a heavy word or to put, oh, God, that's so hard, I'm so responsible. But it's just to put a seriousness to it. This is the kingdom of God.
Praise God, yeah.
You might be taking exams that are important. This is the kingdom of God. You might have all kinds of roles and responsibilities that are important, but this is the kingdom of heaven. And, January the 28th, 1986, just 73 seconds after launch, the shuttle Challenger exploded, losing all seven astronauts' lives. Loss of life is incalculable, isn't it? The exponential cost of husbands and wives and sons and daughters, the loss is incalculable. Those seven lives are priceless. The nose cone of the Challenger shuttle in 1986 cost $3 million. That's a lot of money today. In 1986, that was like, it was millions. That was a lot of money. The search and rescue efforts actually cost $13.1 million. Why did it happen? Now, I was a lad in 1980. No, I wasn't really. But I still remember, as clear as anything, a television program in English, but it was reporting an American TV program, reporting on this tragedy. And this reporter said, the shuttle Challenger exploded and lost integrity because of two $20 seals failed. Oh my God. That really impacted my life. 30 years ago, as a little boy. You know, I remember... As a three-year-old, I remember that television program. I remember that report. I've never preached that till today, but I've saved it. I've saved it up in the back of my head. All of that cost, the incalculable, the priceless cost of life, the $16 million plus dollars just on the unit, never mind all the research and so on. It happened because the Challenger lost integrity because two $20 seals perished because they had overnight a frost and they shrunk. And one thing led to another, to another, to another. Mm-hmm. I think that's really quite staggering. And I hope you're getting what the Spirit's saying. You know, sometimes my head goes into cartoon mode when I'm looking at sharing a word, and I was lying on my bed, as I do, with books and Bibles and pens and pads, and just thinking about, I wonder how a $3 million nose cone would speak to a $20 seal. And I went into cartoon mode, and I could see this $3 million nose cone saying, "Stay to you. You're cheap, you, aren't you? Nobody sees you. You're pretty useless and insignificant, really. you're not worth as much as I'm worth. You know, a lot of people worked on me. Look at you. It took one man to fit you. You're pretty useless. 69, 70, 71, 72, 73. Today, I believe God wants to raise the valleys and maybe bring some mountains down. You know, today, he wants to give us a level playing field. You know, Irene here cost exactly the same as I cost.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more. You know, this is another sermon, isn't it? You cost a lot more than $16 million. Irene cost exactly the same as I cost. And I cost exactly the same as Adrienne cost. And Adrienne cost exactly the same as you cost. Your value and your worth are exactly the same as mine. That's good, isn't it? Does anybody feel down? Or does anybody feel exalted? No, no. Does anybody? This is such a level playing field, isn't it? And God's been speaking to us this morning about how he loves us. Okay, this might not work. I'm going to take a drink. Has everybody heard of Stradivarius? Anybody not heard of Stradivarius? Stradivarius was an Italian guy in the 1600s who made violins. And if you've got a Stradivarius today, you're minted. You are rich. They go for millions of pounds. Has everybody heard of Rubens?
Yeah.
Rubens was a Flemish painter, again, around about that time. A little bit earlier, maybe. If you had a Rubens, you would be a millionaire. How good's your imagination today? In this hand, I have a Stradivarius. And in this hand, I have a Rubens. I'm rich. I'm a millionaire. But there's a problem. This painting was by Stradivarius. And he couldn't paint a bathroom ceiling. And this lump of wood with nails and tacks and blue tack and sellotape was by Rubens. It's fit for the fire. Do you get me? Are you with me? I can't tell you enough how precious you are right now, unfinished, perfect in your spirit, but being sanctified in your soul, presenting your body on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. I can't tell you how special and how precious and how valued you are to the Father. I can't tell you. It's a spirit job, isn't it? It's a Holy Ghost thing.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you, because I'm sent and I'm presented here this morning to tell you of your worth today. Because if you get to grips with that without being exalted, because you don't cost any more than I do, and I didn't cost any more than you do, then we can get on with the job.
Yeah.
And we can have integrity, which will make us have unity.
Amen.
When we know our own value and our own worth, and we also get it into our lightning fast brains that Emma Keane is just as valuable, or Irene and Eileen are just as valuable. Whether you're a nose cone, high profile at the front, or whether you're a $20 seal, you are integral and important and absolutely vital to the kingdom of God. You don't need to be me. Hallelujah. You know, you don't have to be me. Please don't be me. Because you will devalue me then. Understand? I want you to be you. Because if you follow Jesus, let me get to that. Paradoxically, For us to maintain group integrity, I believe we all have to, individually and uniquely, set our faces like flint to go to our Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Let me read that to you. It's in Isaiah. People taking notes, it's in Isaiah 50, verses 5 to 7. It says this: "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious or turned backward. I gave my back to the smiters." This is about Jesus, of course, but it is about us. "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those who plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore have I not been ashamed or confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." Glory to God. Paradoxically, for us to be a unit, we all have to set our faces like flint every day to cut through the stuff that comes this way every day. I tell you what, there's more salmon in my life swimming that way than with me. Isn't there? Do you know what I mean? I'm bumping my head every day walking with Jesus. Are you? I sometimes think I need a crash hat. But that's where we're to set our faces. Because if we allow our faces to become dull or blunt, that's when we have more surface area to catch what's coming this way down the tube, and we get carried back. But if we continually sharpen our faces and we allow each other, iron sharpening iron, we will cut through the stuff. Is the word stuff okay? It's stuff, isn't it? And it's a lot. We've all got it coming this way. And we can all support each other with the stuff.
Praise God, yeah.
Thanks, Dave. Let me read something to you as an encouragement. You know, we don't have... remember, was it W.C. Fields on his deathbed? This is not funny, really. Well, it's not funny at all, but on his deathbed said he was reading the Bible, apparently, so it's reported, and he said he was looking for loopholes. It is funny, but it's not funny, is it? There are no loopholes. There are no excuses. You might have reasons that we can help you with. I've got bags of reasons that I need you to help me with, but there are no excuses. Because of what God has done, because of Christ and Him crucified, we don't have any excuses. You know what I'm saying? I'm not putting anything heavy on you. We have reasons, maybe. But sometimes they're just lame excuses. You know? Let's get to this. Zechariah, let me read this. Zechariah chapter 4. This has been hounding me, so to speak, for ages. And it's about a guy called Zerubbabel. "And the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me like a man awake. Like a man who was wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' I said, 'I see and behold a lampstand of all gold, with its bowl for oil on the top of it and its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil.' So I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' Then the angel who talked with me answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said to me, 'This addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a Then he said to me, 'This addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord.'" And then verse 10, it says, "Who despises the day of small beginnings?" You know, I could talk about the Holy Spirit just forever, really. A ceaseless supply of the Holy Spirit. I am. You know, if we really get a grip of that, we have 24/7, 366 in a leap year days, a ceaseless supply of the same Spirit that raised the dead body of Jesus Christ. That's good news. You know, again, we can't have any lame excuses. Our reasons are we don't get filled all of the time. Our reasons are we're lackadaisical. Our reasons are we don't continuously sharpen our faces like flint. And as we grow in love, we will sharpen each other to a deeper degree. Ooh. Is anybody up for that? I think so. I need you to love me, but I need you to speak the truth. Okay. I have to minister on that one again, maybe. I have a visual aid. Nadia, can you see that? Okay, can you see me? Are you sure? Laura, can you see that? Emma, can you see that?
Yes.
Look at that. Look at that little bad boy. This is called, I have to read this, Salvadora Parisica. Yeah, exact. Botanist to the saints I am. This is a mustard seed. Look at the size of it. You can't see it. Do you know what I think? And again, there are little things amuse my little mind. But do you know in that little seed is the command of God? Look at that. When that's placed in the right soil, that grows 20 foot high and 20 foot wide. Look at that. That, thank you. That little mustard seed has the command of God upon it. Are you with me? Are you listening to what the Spirit's saying? That little bad boy has the handwriting of God in it. It has the code of heaven. Oh, come on. This little fella has the DNA of God in it. It just needs to be planted in the right soil, and that will, on its own, grow 20 foot high and 20 foot wide. That is a miracle. That encourages me so much, I can't tell you. Does anybody feel like that today? You and I have got, do you know what? I wish I could express things better. You and I have got the command of God upon us. You and me, I don't know how you say it in English, you and I and you, we've got the command of God. As Tom's word, bless you, Tom, bless you so much for your obedience. I don't think you had half of it until you started saying it, but that's the prophecy, isn't it? But Tom's word, we are chosen before the foundation of the world. And God said, I saw you before you were in your mother's womb. I called you to be all that he's called you to be, just like that little fella. And I don't care how small you feel, you have got the handwriting of God in your life.
Praise God.
The only thing that can defeat us is us, really. The devil's quaking in his boots, because he knows more than we do sometimes. We've got the command of God on our lives. Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to finish now. Put my little fella away.
We'll just get started.
I'm too hot. Whether you're, you know, I think sometimes it might be perspective. The $3 million and the $20 might be about perspective. Sometimes on a daily basis, on a moment by moment basis, you might have to choose to be a $20 seal. You might have to humble ourselves. And if it's on the floor, don't wait for the anointed one whose ministry it is to pick it up off the floor, Are you with me? And sometimes you might be ever so quiet and very humble, and you might be shy and you might be a little bit quiet. Sometimes God might say, hey, it's time for you to be a nose cone on that particular day at that particular time. I don't know. I don't know. I know all I want to do, and I'm encouraging you to do, is to set your face like flint to go towards what he's drawing you to. It's an adventure. It's scary. Or I wouldn't be anywhere else, doing anything else, being loved by anybody else, feeling like, I feel like $1 million today. I feel more than that, because when I know he's a good, good father, that's who he is, and I'm loved by him, that's who I am. I know all the tea and the money in China won't do it, will it? I'm done.